mistakes. I know that I've let you down, but you love me the same. And when I'm surrounded, when I lose my way, when I'm crying out and falling down, you are here to lift me up. When I am weak, your arms wrap around me. Your love catches me, so I'm letting go. You lift me up when I can't see. Your heart's all that I need. Your love carries me, so I'm letting go. I can see the dawn is breaking. I'm feeling overtaken.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. A little bit of a double jingle there almost. How are you all doing? This is CA, your on-air personality on the iHeartRadio Network. How's everybody doing on a Monday? Welcome to Coffee Talk with CA. We got a great lesson we're going to be teaching on. I'm actually going back to my archives. And today is November the 15th, 2021. And I want to thank everybody for their love and support. And I hope you had a chance to listen to my friend Shay Watson as we did a live cast / podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it. He is with the Pantry Podcast, so if you get a chance, like his Facebook page on there, and catch him on TikTok too as well. So had a great conversation with Shay and his wife, Michelle, on Saturday, and it was an honor to have them on our show, and we hope to have them on in the future. Well, I have recovered. A lot of y'all probably don't know this. My doctor had told me, he said, you know what, CA, he goes, I want you to go ahead and get the booster shot, the COVID booster shot. Now, I don't ever make a political thing out of it, but I did. My two brothers already got theirs. Now, I'm 55 years old, so I had to get it. Well, I didn't have to get it. I needed to get it. I got it, and let me tell you, my arm was in a lot of pain. I want to thank Sophia. In fact, let me give her a cheer. She will be so glad to see I'm giving her a cheer, my morning cheer. Hand clap, morning crow. Fanfare. She was a very, very big help for me as I was, arm was in a lot of pain. And even when I interviewed with Shay, you probably couldn't see it, but I was having some kind of little mini reaction. But I'm doing well. The pain's over with, and we're just moving forward. I hope one day this COVID stuff does go away, but who knows? Only God knows. But anyway, on to a better subject today. Welcome to Coffee Talk again with CA. Questions, comments, you want to put in your prayer request, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Today, I want to give you nine reasons we should know Christ is returning. Okay, first off, I want to tell you that Scriptures is neither vague or really explanatory of the exact date of when Christ's return is going to be. But a large portion, by some accounts, as much as one-fifth of the Scripture is prophetic. Which, and perhaps a third or more of the prophetic passages refer to the second coming of Christ. If you didn't know that, you know it now. Or events related to it. It is undeniable a major theme in the prophecy of both the Old Testament and New Testament. And regardless of what scofflers say, Jesus is coming. In fact, go to 2 Peter, highlight chapter 3, verses, and read verses 3 through 10. World history is barreling toward the conclusion that God ordained isn't an end that will come as a result of a nuclear war, environmental irresponsibility, or even an alien invasion. It is one that comes by the purpose and the plan of God foretold in the scripture. Make no mistake, and I'm telling you, friends, make no mistakes, Christ will return. And you're like, CA, well, what are these nine promises? Well, let's go through them a little bit on Coffee Talk with CA. The first one is the promise of God demands it. In fact, the Old Testament is full of messianic promises that promises on its main focus from the beginning. You go back to the beginning of Genesis, you read chapter 3 and verse 15, and make notations of these scriptures when you go back and reference them. To the end of Malachi, chapter 4 and verse 2. In fact, the whole Old Testament is filled with prophecies of the coming deliverer. At least, how many, CA? 333 distinct promises by one count. In fact, of the more than 100 prophecies dealing with the first advent of Christ, all of them are fulfilled precisely, literally, his riding on a donkey and parting his garments and the piercing of his hands and his feet in the advent prophecies of his rejected by men. And you can read that in the book, the whole book actually of Isaiah chapter 53. All these might be interpreted symbolically by the Old Testament scholars before Christ. But I want you to keep in mind that the New Testament recorded repeatedly reports such things that were fulfilled in the most literal sense, so that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Like, these are just some examples. If you have time to write them down, feel free. You're not going to be able to kind of go through them all here. Matthew chapter 26, verse 56. Matthew chapter 2, verse 15. Matthew chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Matthew chapter 12, verse 17 to 21. Matthew chapter 13, verse 35. And Matthew chapter 21, verses 4 and 5. And Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. Now, if you go to the book of John, you can read John chapter 12, verse 38, John chapter 15, verses 25, and John chapter 19, verses 24 and 28. Scripture says that God cannot lie and he will not change his mind. Find that in the book of Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 on scripture reference, and Titus chapter 1, verse 2. What he has promised he will do, the truthfulness of the Bible is at stake of the second coming. Second point I want to make, number two, is the teaching of Christ demands it, friends. Christ's earthly teaching was filled with references to his second coming. The whole scripture of Matthew chapter 24 discusses that, and Luke chapter 21. When he was on trial for his life, Jesus defended his own identity and with bold declaration of the second coming in the most triumphant terms. He told the high priest, "You will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Find that in the book of Mark, chapter 14 and verse 62. On the night of his betrayal, Christ told his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you, and I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself." Find that in the book of John, chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Not only is the credibility of God at stake of the second coming, friends, but so is the credibility of his son if Jesus doesn't return, he is a liar, which we know he's not. Third point I want to make. The testimony of the Holy Spirit demands it. Since God cannot lie, and you go to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 on a scripture reference, his promises guarantee Christ's return. You see, Jesus is true incarnated in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6. This is a good scripture reference. So his teaching is unfathomably confirms that the fact of the second coming and the Holy Spirit, who is called the Spirit of Truth. Find that in two scriptures, John chapter 14, verse 17, John chapter 15, and verse 26. Also testifies the second coming of Christ through the New Testament writers. Now, whether the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, or a reference also. These are references now on scriptures. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Colossians chapter 3, verses 4. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. The Apostle Peter, some good three references on that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. 2 Peter, the whole chapter of chapter 3. Or the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Again and again, these scriptures, the Holy Spirit adds his witness of that of the Father and Son that Jesus is coming. Now, the fourth point I want to make is the program of the church demands it. God is currently taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. Read the book of Acts chapter 15 and verse 14. And the gathering, he has elected into one body, the church. We the church, we the people. The church is a group of gatherer believers in a church that believe in Jesus Christ. That's what a church is. It's a body of believers. It isn't who is in control. We only have one control, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the church role is to be like a pure bride from God's own Son, ready to present him at his second coming. Now, Paul uses the wedding imaginary in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I bestow you to one husband, that to Christ I may present you a pure virgin. You see, marriage is a beautiful and metaphor that pictures Christ's love and care for his church. Book of Matthew chapter 25, great example. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 24 and 27. And Revelations chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. And friends, that's why we can be certain he will return to claim her, just as he promised in the book of John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. And he will come back to get his bride. The fifth point I want to make is the corruption in the world demands it. You know, the world is a very wicked place. And when we come to the Son of Man, comes in the glory, his Father, with his angels. He will recommence every man according to his deeds. Find that in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. An hour is coming in which all who are in the tomb shall hear his voice, and shall come forth those who did good deeds to resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to the resurrection of judgment. Find that in the book of John, chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. The blessed hope of every believer, in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 13, is the terror of the world. For the believers, his coming means immediate, impartial judgment. Some more scripture references. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 7 and 10 through 10, Jude chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, and of course the book of Revelations, chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. For believers, unmitigated joy. You see, Jesus must return in order to execute just retribulation on sinners and carry out the judgment that he promised. Sixth point. The future of Israel depends on it. In Paul's day, Gentiles were coming, friends, into the church to gather in numbers, then Jewish converts. And if you read the book of Romans, chapter 11, you'll learn quite a bit of that Paul reminded them, you being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among and become a partaker with them in the rich root of the olive tree. Find that in verse 17 of that chapter 11, verse 17. But by the time is coming, the natural branches will be grafted back into the olive tree. Find that in Romans chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. A phenomenon that Paul expressively connected with the returning of Christ in verse 26. This is a day when Israel mourned over the one that they pierced in the book of Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And God saved them all in the book of Romans, chapter 11 and verse 26. Now, my second point is the vindication of Christ depends on it. It is convincible inconvincible, I should say, that the last public view of the world would have of Jesus Christ would have been him bleeding, dying, crucified, criminally covered with blood, spit, and flies, hanging naked in the Jerusalem twilight. But do you realize that after his resurrection, he never appeared in a public venue before unbelievers? In fact, plenty of the believers saw him, touched him, spoke to him, and gave him unanimous testimony that he was risen from the dead. But there's no record that unbelievers ever saw him. In fact, but the unbelieving world will see his glory displayed to everyone. Scripture says Christ also has been offered once to bear the sins of many, would appear a second time for salvation, without the reference to sin to those who eagerly await on him. Good references, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, and Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. The Savior who was humiliated, taunted, and put to death in public display of humility, hatred of God, will return as conquering Lord in a view of the entire world. Scripture references Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 27, and every eye will see him. As I studied back way back, if you go back to my podcast, Book of Revelations, chapter 1 and verse 7. Eighth point, I have two more points. The destruction of Satan demands it. Satan, though, has already defeated foe. He already is defeated, friends. We all know that. As far as Christians are concerned, still exercises a kind of domain over the world. And there are several scriptures when you have make notes. John chapter 12, verse 31. John chapter 14, verse 30. John chapter 16, verse 11. The book of Paul that he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. But Christ is the only rightful ruler of the world. And when he returns, he will overthrow and destroy Satan completely. In fact, when we studied back in Revelations, when I went through that, remember these key thoughts I was telling you? Especially in Revelation, let's go back to Revelation chapter 5, just revisit a light touch on it. When Christ receives his seven seal scroll, the title deed of earth, he unleashes the judgment with the crack of each seal. Remember that? And in Revelation, that was in Revelation 6. Now, the seal judgments gave away the judgment of the seven trumpets in Revelation 8. And as we all well remember, y'all remember when we had talked about it, that the trumpet judgment also leads to the judgment of the seven bowls. Remember that in the book of Revelation chapter 16. Finally, after one ditch effort by Satan to retain his unlawful domain over earth, Christ himself returns to vanquish the foe. He chains him, cast him down a bottomless pit, and finally confines him to an eternal lake of fire, as we well read in the book of Revelation chapter 19. With that, Christ's victory over Satan is unsuper and is complete. My last point, ninth point, the hope of saints demands it. Only God's glorious triumphant return, friends, can fulfill the hope of the saints. Every true believer longs for that day. I long for it. You long for it. Paul characterizes Christians as those who love his appearing. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. The Apostle John says, "Now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed that we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he sees us." Find that in the book of 1 John, chapter 3 and verse 2. The return of Christ is instantly ushered in the fullness of our glorification. In fact, John adds these words, "And everyone who has hope in him purifies himself just as he is purified." Find that in the book of 1 John, chapter 3. If you go to verse 3, you can read that. This is a test of your health histology. It is the hope of sanctifying influence of your soul. If you're looking beyond the commotion of this crazy world we're living in and you realize that you could soon meet Christ face to face, are you preparing? Let me ask you guys this. Are you preparing your heart and your soul for that? Are you eager and watchful? And are you filled with the hope and the joy and the expectations? This attitude to which the scripture calls for us. See, the second coming is not supposed to make you stop what you're doing to wait upon the Lord. He wants you to live your life, friends. He wants you to go on with life. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to enjoy life. And neither should it motivate us to focus our attention on the events of the political developments around the world. Instead, it should prompt us to the holiness and direct our hearts toward Christ, to those ever believer with joy. I hope that on my notes and on my Bible teaching gives you reasons, 9 reasons, and it's a lot of scripture verses why we should know that Christ is returning. And you know what? He is going to return soon and very soon. I'm telling you that. He is. So in the meantime, what do we do, CA? Simple as that, I can tell you. We need to love the Lord with all of our heart. We need to listen to Him, listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to enjoy our life. And we need not to try not to let things bother us. We just got to stay strong. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And even during times of stressful times and with Thanksgiving coming around the corner here in 2 weeks, and time with family and friends and loved ones. Christmas is upon us and COVID has kind of lifted up, we hope. People are either going to be doing a lot of online shopping, which I believe. Maybe some going out to the stores. Don't take life for granted. Enjoy your life. All right, in close out, I want to play this song, Carol of the Bells with David Foster. Great sounds of David Foster and Carol of the Bells. All right. Well, we're getting ready to saddle up and leave Faith Studio 1 here in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. And remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. And just enjoy your life, okay? And, you know, just know one day that the Lord is coming back. So as you get prepared, as the ladies get prepared to make their Thanksgiving list or get ready to fly out of town or getting ready to go drive and see grandma or whatever it may be. I miss my grandmother. They're up in heaven having a big feast with the Lord and rejoicing. I just want you to remember one thing that as we lead off in prayer, that God's got you. And again, stay strong. We're going to keep you encouraged. Okay, got great and exciting things coming up in December with our continual Christmas music. So, and more Christmas albums. All right, let's lead off in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, I just pray you be with us. God, just watch over, protect us. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Just let us have a great Monday. And as everybody gets prepared, some of them that are flying out of town next week, pray for safe travel and mercies for their families and them. And the ones that may be driving, the same thing, safe travel and mercies. We thank you for all you do, and we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Guys, I want you to remember the sun does shine. Guys, I want you to remember the sun does rise on the other side, and I also want you to enjoy life. L-I-F-E, explanation point, dot. This is CA on the iHeartRadio Network. Y'all have a good day. Bye for now.